Let me tell you, today we are beginning a brand new sermon series called Anxious for Nothing. And the particular title of this message, part one, is called When You've Had Enough. And I don't know if any of you have had enough. I don't know if you've gotten to that point where you said, you know what, I just can't take this anymore. Maybe you're just battling with anxiety or fear or worry, then this series is for you. I want to set up our text a little bit today and tell you a little bit about what we're going to talk about. But this is a message series really for those of you who might have a heavy heart or you feel a lot of weight in your spirit. You might be worried about something. It could be a health issue. It could be a financial problem. It could be someone that you love. Maybe it's aging parents and you're not knowing how to deal with them. Maybe it is you're worried about your children and the decisions you're making and you're just wondering if they're ever going to get it right. Maybe you are pregnant for the first time and you're worried about what that's going to look like. Maybe you're in a situation like I am. You've got a kid that's going off to college in the fall and you're not sure what's going to take place there. But this message series is for you. If you are worried or maybe battling with some type of fear or anxiety, and what we're going to do over the next 4 weeks, what I'm going to do over the next 4 weeks, is we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4 every week. And I'm going to take a small portion of that text and highlight it and use other portions of Scripture to support that big truth. So we're going to do every single week for the next 4 weeks is we're going to read Philippians chapter 4, a few verses. And here's what I believe is going to happen. That as we let this word sink into our hearts, that God is going to calm our spirits. That God is going to relieve some of the anxieties that we have as we cast our cares on Him. The book of Philippians was written by the apostle Paul. And Paul, he wanted more than anything to go to Rome to preach the gospel. Like, that was his goal. I want to go to Rome and then beyond to preach the gospel, to share the good news of Jesus Christ with Rome. But Paul ended up in Rome, and he found himself in Rome in a Roman prison, chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. I'm talking about quarantine. Like, and out of that situation, where he could have been more anxious than anyone that I know, like, he had more reason to be anxious. He didn't know what his potential outcome was going to be. He didn't know how long he was going to be in there. He didn't know when the guy he was chained to last showered. He didn't know if he was going to get out of it alive. He was going to have a death sentence. And under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he wrote these words. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." Wait, you're chained to a Roman guard in a Roman prison, and you don't know if you're going to get out of here with your head or not. Wait, rejoice in the Lord always. You want to know what I'm not seeing a lot of Christians doing right now is rejoicing. I'm not seeing a lot of them saying, hey, you know what? Praise God that we're in the situation that we're in, because He's going to do something great about it. Praise God because He is in control of all of this. To rejoice in the Lord always. And then he said this, something else that I think we're missing. He said, let your gentleness be evident to all. Your gentleness. Not your rebellion. Not your anger. Not your fear. Not your worry. Not your anxiety. Not your protests and your petitions. Your gentleness. Let your gentleness be evident to all. And here's the portion for this week, really. He says this, because the Lord is near. Because the Lord is near. He said, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, one of the many things that I love about our church family is that you all allow me to be a real person. Like, is it okay if I'm real today? Well, whether or not it is or not, I'm going to be. Because most of the time, I'm the pastor that kind of glows in the dark and does everything amazing. Not really. Like, all the time, I'm just kind of regular person. And I want to tell you where I am. This has been a rough 8 weeks for me. It has. My whole life, I've been a preacher, not a producer. And we're doing this whole online thing, and I love that, and I'm so glad that we're reaching so many people. And if you're tuned in this morning or whenever you're watching, man, I am glad that you're here today. I'm glad that you're listening. If you have any questions, we want to help you take your next step in that. But my whole life, I trained and desired and lived one thing, and that was to minister and to be involved in the church and to be here and do that. So this has been extremely difficult on me. And then I'm getting bombarded with questions week in and week out. When are we meeting again? When are we doing this? What are we going to do this? What do you think about the governor? Listen, I don't know. Like, that's my answer. I don't know. So this message is really coming out of a place where I am real, where I am transparent, where I am vulnerable, just a regular person that says, you know what? I've had enough. And many of you may be there as well. Paul said this, he said, be anxious for nothing. And I'm asking myself, is that even possible today? In the world that we live in, is it even possible to be anxious for nothing? We got the virus and lockdown and mass shootings and, like, I read a book about Gen Z recently, the group that's kind of in high school and college age right now. Such a promising generation. Like, I think they're going to do some amazing things for God. But one of the biggest challenges, they say, is that they are the most stressed generation in the history. You guys, they worry about everything. Should I go to college? If I do, am I going to have to take out student loans? And then if I graduate, will I make enough money to pay back the student loans? Am I going to get married? If I do marry, am I going to marry a psycho? Because I've seen a lot of psychos. You know, how am I going to pay the bills? And then there are people that are married, and they're like, I did marry a psycho, and I think I'm a psycho because she's making me psycho. Like, and I don't know about my job, and my car's going into the shop again, and my teenagers are driving me crazy, and my parents are getting old, and there's so much uncertainty in the world. Is it even possible to be anxious for nothing? And what I want to do in this particular message is I want to show you an Old Testament prophet that I think is a lot like a lot of us. He really loved God. He had seen the faithfulness, the power, the provision of God. And yet he still struggled massively with anxiety. His name's Elijah. Zach read about him a little bit. But if you don't know the context, Elijah actually confronted a very evil king named Ahab. He called him out on his sin, and he promised that a drought would significantly impact Ahab's kingdom. So the king got upset, and he came after Elijah, saying, hey, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to kill you. And so for 3 years, Elijah was on the run. He was hiding out, and God was faithful. God fed him with bread, the ravens, and meat from heaven. Elijah raised someone from the dead. There was a time, this was so cool, Elijah stood down 850 false prophets. One man stood down 850. Like, that's cocky in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I love that. Like, one time I stood down three people. It was at Impact, and they were in kindergarten, but I stood them down, and I felt pretty good about it. But Elijah called down fire from heaven. Like, then after all that, the power of God, miracle after miracle, one grumpy woman gets up in his grill and he falls completely apart. If you don't know the story, Ahab was bad, but man, he had a wife that made him look like Mother Teresa. This woman, his wife was named Jezebel. And she got in the picture and she said this. She said, honey, if you can't get the job done, let a woman do it right. I'm going to kill Elijah. And Elijah falls completely apart. Like, you see him spiral into a deep depression and anxiety, and that some of us may be able to relate to. And I want to show you the story, and I want to point out four different mistakes that Elijah made when he had too much. And I think maybe you'll be able to find yourself maybe making one, two, three, or maybe all four of these mistakes when you've had enough. It's in 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to start in verse 3. See if you can find the mistakes that Elijah made. Scripture says this: Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. Okay, watch for the mistakes. He's by himself wandering around in the wilderness. So he came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. Notice how irrational he is. What's his biggest fear? That Jezebel's going to kill him. And now he's saying, God, would you just kill me? He's struggling. And what does he say? He said the same thing that many of us might say. I've had enough. I can't take this anymore. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. And some of you right now, you're at that place. You're like, I can't take it anymore. Like, I've done everything I can. I'm trying to pay the bills. One more thing broke. I can't take it anymore. Some of you, that's a relationship. You're trying and trying and trying and trying, and yet they deceived you again. I can't take it anymore. Some of you, it's your schedule. You work and you work and you work, and you're trying everything. You know, maybe you're a single parent and you're trying to juggle, or you're working your tail off and I can't take it anymore. You know, it could be something simple. You've made dinner 9,000 times and they haven't said thank you 9,000 times and they've walked away. But on 9,001, I'm going to kill you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God's going to be pleased because you're being punished for your sins. And for me lately, honest, like, it's just been a decision to make a decision. I make decisions all the time. But for some reason, this one's got me jacked up. But let's look at his mistakes. Like, Elijah couldn't take it. He made four mistakes. And the mistake that Elijah made that we tend to make is that we run ourselves into the ground. Like, that's what he did. The text says he was afraid and he ran for his life. He ran to Beersheba. Which, if you don't know geography, he ran about 100 miles. He ran about as far as humanly possible that he could run. Had he run anymore, he would have run into the water. Like, he couldn't run anymore. He ran four marathons. He ran, he ran, he ran, he ran. He was so exhausted, he wore himself out. And some of you are right there. You're in a real season of anxiety and you don't recognize it. Like, you've been going way too hard for way too long. Like, Elijah ran himself into the ground. And that's the thing about anxiety and depression and that really gets us down, is it's never what's happening in May. It's usually what's happened in January and February and the way we've been running the whole time. We run ourselves into the ground, and then when it hits us, we don't recognize why. Second big mistake that he made that many of us do as well is that we shut people out. We shut people out. Like, he left his servant. You know, he said to his trusted friend, who's been traveling with him, he said, I don't need you anymore. And he went off on his own. And that's a little bit like, that's a little bit what I've been doing the last month. You talk to Todd or Zach, they'll tell you, like, hey, Josh has been kind of distant. He shut himself off a little while. Like, I'm a pastor. Hey, like, I can't tell anybody I'm hurting. I can't tell anybody that I'm struggling with this decision. Like, I'm just going to push through and not let anybody in. Like, one of our core values is I can't do life alone. Like, we recognize that we as the body of Christ are incomplete without each other, which is part of why it's such a struggle to not be here on Sunday morning. But listen, that's not the only time we can be together. In fact, if that's the only time we're together, we're missing out on a huge part of doing life together. We're missing out on a huge part of being the body of Christ. Like, we are better together. And so we've got to understand and recognize when we're making the mistake that Elijah made. The third mistake that he made that we often make is this: we focus on the negative. We focus on the negative. Here's what he said. He said, I've had enough. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm no better than my ancestors. And this is the very thing that we often do. You know, we focus on the negative. My life is so hard. I can never get it all done. There's just too much. I can't stand these people. I don't like my job. I don't like where I'm going. I'm always going to suffer. I'm always going to struggle. The government's going to get me. The coronavirus is going to get me. And we focus on the negative all the time. Like we're going to be broken and never going to be happy. We're always going to be hurting, and we always focus on the negative. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. Like, no wonder the world is not so attracted to the church that we can't keep them away from it. It's because we're always so negative. And when we focus on the negative, not only are we hurting ourselves, not only are we setting ourselves up for anxiety, we're pushing the people that we need away from us. Because nobody wants to be around negative. And the fourth thing that we do, probably the biggest mistake, is we forget God. Like we forget God. Which is crazy. Every step of Elijah's life, if you read the story, every moment of time, God was present. God was faithful. God's power was visible. His provision was real. And even though, like, Elijah had seen all of that, even though he experienced God in some great ways, when it came right down to it, he was facing his problem while forgetting his God. You know, over two decades, I've preached, and God has been present. And yet I was facing my fears and forgetting my God. Like, this is nothing for God. Come on. No matter what happens, God's got this under control. No matter if we meet next week or we meet next year, God's got this under control. This is nothing for God. You know, the crazy thing is Elijah's name alone should have been enough to comfort him in the middle of his anxiety. His name alone, Elijah, means Jehovah is God, or God is my source, or God is my breath, it would have been translated. And yet even knowing that his God is near, he falls apart. So what did God do? Well, he took him to the corner and he said, "You of little faith, get out of my sight, I'm done with you." No, that's not what God does. It's not what God's going to do with you if you're battling with anxiety or you forgot him or you've walked away from him. I want to show you what God does and how God reveals himself to Elijah. Scripture says this, "The Lord God said to Elijah, 'Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by.' Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." God was not in the remarkable. God was in the ordinary. Why was God in the whisper? Because he's near. You know, when we're hurting, when we're afraid, when we're overwhelmed, why doesn't God sometimes speak to us in loud ways or yell at us? Why does he whisper? He whispers because he's close. He whispers to draw us close. You know, the devil, on the other hand, he shouts his lies. His voice is condemnation, his accusation. You'll never be enough. You'll never make it through. You'll always be on your own. But listen, but God whispers because God is near. So the Lord is near. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He said, "I'm with you even always to the very end of the age." He said, "I'm always good. I'm working all things together for the good of those who love me and called according to my purpose." He said, "Nothing shall separate you from my love. Nothing, neither height nor depth nor darkness. Nothing will separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Why does God whisper? Because he's near. The Lord is near. Like, my God is my breath. Here's what's funny about Elijah. Like, if you know the end of the story, like, it's funny. What was his greatest fear? His greatest fear was dying. He even prayed, "God, kill me," because he was scared of Jezebel killing him. But if you go to the end of the story later on, he's walking with his protege, Elisha. And God sends a chariot of fire from heaven to save him. Like a horse and stuff from heaven sweep down and they wipe Elijah off the face of the earth, and he never tasted physical death. He never died. The thing that he feared the most never happened. So we could say, and get ready for it, I've been leading toward it the whole time. We could say that he was anxious for nothing. I came to tell somebody here that the vast majority of what you worry about is not going to happen. Most of it never ever does. The vast majority never happens, and therefore we're anxious for nothing. The vast majority never happens, but sometimes it does, and it's not as bad as we thought. And we were anxious for nothing. Sometimes it does happen, and it's bad. And it's worse than we ever could have imagined. But the goodness of God always carries us through. He's always faithful. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us, because he is our breath. He is our strength. He is our source. And that's why the Apostle Paul, who was chained to a Roman guard in a Roman prison, not knowing his future, he can say, hey, don't be anxious about anything. He said this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, because the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why does he whisper? He whispers because he's close. The Lord is near. You can trust him.